We started a few weeks ago looking at the lives of Moses and Joshua, looking at some leadership kinds of things and looking at these two men as they were leading the Israelite people. And what are some of the things that we can learn from them and the things that they did to help us as we're striving to be more of a church of excellence? And so we began talking about Joshua last week. We finished talking about Moses, and last week we looked at the instructions that God gave to Joshua as he prepared to take over the leadership of the people of Israel and bring them into the promised land. And you remember, last week we were focusing on the fact that God told Joshua, make sure that you don't turn to the right or to the left of anything that I've instructed you to do. And so God gives Joshua these instructions. You're getting ready to lead these people, and you need to make sure that you do exactly what I've told you to do. And if you do those things, we saw that God said, you will be blessed. Now, this morning, we continue looking at Joshua, at the next thing that's getting ready to happen with he and the Israelite people. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan River and enter into the promised land. Okay? And so we're going to look at what are some of the things that God instructed Joshua and the Israelites to do concerning this crossing of the Jordan River. Okay? Now, one of the things that the Scriptures tell us about it is that at this particular time of the year, when they're getting ready to cross, the Jordan River was at its flood stage. Okay? So when you think about river, all right, don't think about it in terms of, you know, just little, you know, body of water that's kind of rolling down and you could maybe just hop and skip across. And so, no, this is a wide river and it's at flood stage. Okay? So put that picture in your mind and look at with me in Joshua chapter 4 at the instructions that God gives to Joshua for what they are to do. Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. Now, that sounds like kind of a strange instruction, doesn't it? You know, they're going to be crossing over the river, and on your way, I want you to, you know, you pick out these 12 people, one from each of the tribes. Why do you suppose that was? Well, one from each tribe, 12 tribes, that represents the completeness of Israel. Okay? And they are to, each one, to pick up a stone from the middle of the river, right where the priests were standing. Now, what was going to happen is that the priests were going to carry the ark, and they're going to lead the people. Previously, they've been given instructions. When you see the priests carrying the ark, you kind of line up and you follow. And the priests are going to go and step into the river, and when they do, as soon as their feet touch the waters are going to part. And they're going to enter into the river, and they're going to go into the middle of the riverbed. And they're going to stand there holding the Ark of the Covenant while all of the Israelites pass through the Jordan River on dry ground. And these 12 men have been instructed that when they're crossing, they are to stop there where the priests are in the middle of the river and pick up from the riverbed a stone. Each one pick up a stone and carry it with them to the other side. Now, I want you to think about it for just a moment and understand. The river is at flood stage, and God has told them when the high priest or the priest step into the waters are going to part. Those that are up the river are going to stop flowing down, and those that are downriver are going to go, and we're going to have dry ground. Is this sounding familiar at all? And so these 12 men, one from each tribe, are instructed to pick up dry stones from dry ground. See, it's very significant that we understand that they crossed over on dry ground. They didn't have to wade and slosh through the mud. They didn't have to, wonder whether we're going to be able, what's going on because it's so sticky and muddy here. Are we actually? No, it was dry ground. Okay? Verse 17 of chapter 3, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. And so these men stopped as they were crossing the Jordan River on dry ground, and they picked up dry stones, and they carried those dry stones over to the other side with them. This is the second time that God has caused the Israelite people to cross over a body of water on dry ground. The first time, of course, was the other generation of Israelites, those that had first come out of Egypt, out of bondage and slavery. They crossed the Red Sea. But you see, this is a whole new generation of people now. Those who did not experience the Red Sea crossing. And they're experiencing the crossing over on dry ground for the first time. Okay. This new generation now crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land, just like the older ones had done at the Red Sea. Look over in verse 23 of chapter 4. The Lord your God dried up the Jordan River before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what He had done to the Red Sea when He dried it up before us until we had crossed over. That's kind of like, at least for Joshua and Caleb, that's kind of like that deja vu thing we talked about a few weeks ago, isn't it? They'd been here before, but the rest of the Israelites, it was their first experience at crossing over on dry ground. And then, okay, so they got these stones out of these dry stones out of the dry riverbed as they were crossing over. They take them to the other side. And what is the purpose of that? Why pick up these stones out of the middle of the river and carry them to the other side? Well, those stones were intended to be stacked. See? And there's something special about that. In other words, it wasn't a matter where they're just going to take these stones and carry them across and then just kind of throw them over on the other side on the bank of the river when they got there. Oh, no. They were to carry these stones with them to the camp where they were going to be settling that night. Beginning in verse 8 of chapter 4, the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Joshua set up the stones there at the place where they had encamped. Kind of an odd thing, isn't it? Not really. This may have been the first time that this happened, but it was not the last. You see, the stones were set up as a memorial for what God had accomplished for the Israelite people in that day so that they would never, ever forget. Go down to verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, When your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done at the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. What's the purpose of the stones being stacked? It is for remembrance. That not only they, but that their descendants after them would never forget what God had done for the Israelite people in crossing over the Jordan River into the Promised Land on dry ground. God, you see, wanted them to have some kind of visual reminder of His power so that they would never forget what had been done for them. And it was something that was to be carried over from one generation to the next. And as I mentioned a moment ago, this was the first time, but it wasn't the last. The Scriptures tell us there were several different occasions when God instructed Joshua and others to make a monument out of stones at certain places where big events happened. For the same reason, so that they would never forget. Of course, the idea was that, you know, later on, down the road in the future, when the children of these people are passing through the land, they're walking along somewhere and they see this big pile of stones. And we're not talking about little pebbles here. We're talking about stones. And so you can imagine 12 big stones that are piled up that would be noticeable sitting there in this particular spot. And a child might see that and go, Dad, what are those stones all for right there? And the father would have the opportunity, as what we call a teachable moment, to tell his child about what God had done for his people so that they would never forget. And generations would go by, and now it might be the grandson or granddaughter, the great-grandson or granddaughter of those who had crossed over. And they would see those stones and ask the same question, what do these stones mean? And they would be told what God had done for their people those many, many years before. They are stones of remembrance, teaching each succeeding generation of what God had done, lest anyone forget. I know that everybody in here, you probably can't see what's written on the front of this table here. But for those of you who can't, it says, in remembrance of me. What we just celebrated a few moments ago are stones of remembrance. You see, Jesus gave us a memorial, didn't He? Something that we would be able to look at and participate in so that we would remember what God has done for us. Turn over in your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians, if you will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, speaking of this memorial, these stones of remembrance, if you will, beginning in verse 23, says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, and in remembrance of me." Verse 26. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What we celebrated here a few moments ago are our stones that were picked up from the dry riverbed and stacked for us by Jesus at that Passover meal 2,000 years ago. And the purpose of that is the very same that it was for Joshua and the Israelites when they crossed the Jordan River, so that we never forget what God has done. I know that this is a wooden altar here, but it could just as well be stone. Say, our stone monument or memorial. It's not the table. It's what we do with the table. It's what the table represents. The communion that we use, that Jesus gave to us to remember what He did. Do this in remembrance of me. And we look back at the Scriptures in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, and we see the first century church did that on the first day of every week. It was part of their weekly assembly time that they gathered, wherever they were. They didn't gather, by the way, in nice, comfortable church buildings like this with air conditioning and padded pews, and they would gather together in someone's house or in a cave or a catacomb or in a field or by the riverbank or wherever they could to gather together. But one thing that was common to them wherever they gathered on the first day of the week, and that was the stones of remembrance. The Lord's Supper. The Scriptures say they gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread. Say, and that wasn't just a common meal, that was the Lord's Supper. The reason for it was just the same, so that they and all future generations, and that's you and I today, would never forget. Okay? So when we gather together on the first day of the week, that's why we do this. Okay. So that we don't ever forget, and also so that our children won't ever forget, and so that our children's children won't ever forget. You see, God wants us to remember what He has done, what His power has accomplished on our behalf, just like He did with the Israelites when they crossed over the Jordan River at flood stage on dry ground. God accomplished the task of washing away our sins and freeing us from bondage of sin. And He did that through the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave us that memorial so that we would never forget. We have a responsibility. You see, what Jesus did happened over 2,000 years ago, didn't it? Yeah. And the reason that you and I are here today and able to remember what Jesus did 2,000 years ago is because somebody remembered it before you and they passed it on to you. And somebody remembered it before the person that passed it on to you and passed it on to them. And you see, it goes back 2,000 2,000 years because people didn't forget. And they kept passing it on and passing it on and passing it on. You and I today have a responsibility to those who would come after us to continue passing it on so that those who come later on won't forget either what was done for them. We've got to pass it on to our children and our grandchildren. And when I say that, I don't mean just, you know, for us who have children and grandchildren. I mean for all of us to pass it on to all of those children and grandchildren who will come after us. To continue to pass it on so that they will ask one day, what does that mean when you all have that bread and that fruit of the vine? What does that mean? Why do you do that? We have the opportunity to tell them the reason we do this is because Jesus died on the cross to wash away our sins. And we do that so that we never forget. And we will keep doing it until He comes. Stones of remembrance. I was sharing an article with the other elders this morning, some research that's been done that is kind of indicating the trend in religion today that basically says that, you know, the numbers of people that are participating and attending churches and all is declining. Interestingly enough, it says that the number of people that are claimed to be atheists and agnostics is not really increasing any. But the number of people that are participating in church is declining, indicating that what's happening, it seems, is that people haven't lost their faith in God. They still believe in God, but they are having a struggle with dealing with church and churches. I think perhaps it's because we haven't been doing a good enough job of helping people to remember what's been done for us, so that people begin to see church and the church as being irrelevant in their lives and in the world today. Here's the thing we've got to face, we've got to look at. If we don't make it relevant, if we don't help people to see the importance of gathering together on the first day of every week so that we can remember this, then before long it will be forgotten. So when someone says, well, why do I need to go to church? Well, can't I just watch it on TV? Can you watch this on TV? Can you participate in this on TV? Can you participate in this all by your lonesome? And for those of you who are still raising children, keep in mind, if you don't bring them so that they can see this and remember this on a regular basis, the chances are they might forget as the years go by. God gave us this memorial just like He gave to the Israelites when they crossed the Jordan River so that we would never, ever forget. We would keep on remembering it until He comes back again. I don't know about you, but God has done some amazing, amazing things in my life. And I know that I've not always been as grateful to Him as I should be, because sometimes I forget some of the things that He has done. One thing I will never forget is this right here. Here's one of the things about this that you have to keep in mind. What we celebrate and what this memorial represents means absolutely nothing to those who are outside of Christ, because you're still lost in your sins. That memorial only becomes meaningful when you die to yourself and give your life to Christ. Then it becomes your memorial, because then it becomes what God has done for you and with you in your life. So here's the message. If you're here this morning being someone who has not partaken and participated in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, it's kind of the same thing as being like one of those Israelites who stayed on the other side of the Jordan River and didn't cross over. You don't have anything to remember. But the good news is, you can do that today, right now. You can cross over from death to life in Christ Jesus. If you confess Him as your Lord, repent of the sin that is separating you from Him, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, then you too can participate and share in that memorial that He's given us to remind you of what He has done on your behalf. If that's what you need to do this morning, if you're ready to make that commitment, then don't wait. Don't put it off. Cross over this morning from death to life like the Israelites did way back then. Those who are already Christians, you've already crossed over, but maybe Satan has been wreaking havoc in your life, and maybe there's things that you need some help with to overcome, or maybe there's just stuff going on in your life that you just need help with, not necessarily sin, but that's what we're here for, is family, to help one another. We can't help you if we don't know what you need. So we extend the invitation to everyone. If you're ready to become a Christian, you can do that right now. If you need prayers or help or guidance or teaching or whatever from this family, then you're invited to come and let us know that. I'll be up here to receive anyone that would like to come up front, and Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have maybe a private prayer or conversation with him. Let's stand together and sing.